Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you for that, Denver. Thank you very, very much. That sounds really, really good. And hello to you out there. Thank you for being with me. We have another show today, another wonderful show. I am your guest, you know. What am I trying to say? Okay, this is such a beautiful day today in Chicago, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. It looks great outside. It's not as gray as I usually say on some of the broadcasts on this network, but it's great out there. I mean, people are enjoying themselves. I think it's about 70 or 80 out there in front of me, and I live near the lake. It's wonderful, and I hope that it's wonderful where you are because it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time, I think. Okay, so we're having great weather in Chicago. I got 6 o'clock, 6:01 straight up Chicago time. Yeah, I hope it's great where you are, like I said again. I hope you're enjoying the weather like we are. We are. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get on the show today because I had so much I wanted to talk about, so much I want to say. And I'm glad you're with me. So let's get started. Okay, the first thing, I have to mention this. I know what I have on the screen here, but I have to mention this. The Blackhawks, I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks, we know that they're going to take this. We know that they're going to win the Stanley for the second or third time. We know that. There's no doubt about that. But this town is so Blackhawk crazy right now. It's unbelievable. You know, I am too. I'm a hockey fan. I didn't used to be because there was no black players on the team or team anywhere in the National Hockey League or whatever. And but hey, that doesn't bother me. Winners are winners. I love winners. We all love winners. You know, that's what it's all about. Losing, we can't stand losing, but we do love winners. And the Blackhawks are winners. I believe they play this coming Saturday. Okay, I'm broadcasting. This is on Thursday, the 4th of June. Wow, the 4th of June. And I'm hearing that the weather's going to take a dive for tomorrow, and then it's going to go right back up into the 80s. I guess we can deal with that. But it's summer. To me, it's summer. It's still, well, if you officially, we're on the last leg of spring. But it feels like summer. It's great. I'm wearing shorts. You know, everybody around me wearing shorts. It's great. It's wonderful. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you can't listen live, podcast the show. You download it for later and listen to the show. Okay, it seems like I got a real good connection here. Usually, when you're on the internet, like I said before in some other shows, when you're on the internet, there's always a possibility of the internet going down on you or your computer acting haywire, you know. And sometimes that will affect the audio. So if that happens beforehand, I apologize. I don't think I hear anything in my ear now, I'm wearing earphones, so I can hear something that's coming back in the computer, if it's cracking or if it's negative or if it's dead air, something like that. So forgive me if something like that should happen during the course of the show, because like I said before, when you on the internet and you're doing things on the internet, and this is internet radio, there's always possibilities of something happening, you know, in terms of, you know, interfering with the audio on the show. But let's hope nothing happens like that, so we can proceed on with the with what this show is all about. And, you know, I recently started calling this show the Talk of Our Times, because I think that's what it is. It's the Talk of Our Times. There's a lot of talk shows on internet radio and broadcast radio and over-the-air radio, you know, but, you know, they're not like this show, okay? The Talk of Our Times. And there are some people who I really envy in talk radio. I like Tom Hartman. I like Ed Schultz. I like some of the greats and the best. If you're going to be the best, you have to follow and listen to the best. And that's what I want. I want to be the best, so I listen to the best. The Oppress. I mean, these guys are just awesome. And if you don't know who they are, you know, Google them, look them up, and, you know, tune into their show. It's great. It's wonderful. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Go Blackhawks. Go Blackhawks. It was something. I mean, I was watching the game between the Lightning and the Blackhawks. These guys, the Lightning, these guys are a lot younger than the Blackhawks. And in the first quarter, they were out playing the Blackhawks. But suddenly, the Blackhawks caught fire. And they won the game. The first game, I think it's the best out of seven. The first game, they won the first game of best out of seven. Okay? All right, this is not a sports show, but I just have to acknowledge the Blackhawks, because they're in Chicago and I'm in Chicago. And go Blackhawks. You know, I mean, like I said before, we all love winners. That's what it's all about, winning. Winning. You know, I mean, if they were losing, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't mention them on this show. But it's all about winning. And they're a great team. Hockey is a very, very, it's an impact game. It's a very tiresome. I mean, I would think the guys would get tired a lot. But they're very talented. They're very strong. They're very adept, you know, and they're winners. What can I say? I can't wait for Saturday night to watch them. And if I have a show Saturday night, I may just have to preempt it and just sit down and watch the this game. I will let you know if I decide to cancel the show. And I will let you know where you can go to listen to talk radio, especially my show. Like I said, I call the show the Talk of Our Times, because it is. I think it is. Okay, let's move right along. Let's see. I'm going to probably talk about some things in the news. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, we have been hacked again. The government has been hacked again. Can these guys get their act together and stop this hacking of your information, my information, Social Security numbers, credit card numbers, debit card numbers, addresses, phone numbers? What is this? The Obama administration doesn't seem to have a hand on hacking. Every other day I'm hearing hacking of computers. Your information is out there among strangers, criminals, crooks, who are about to go into your bank account and wipe it out. Why can't these guys be stopped? No amount of... I just don't know. It puzzles me. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of these places that are hacked, a patron at. You know, I go visit some of these places and I slide my debit card or credit card, you know, and next thing you know, the place has been hacked. And there goes my bank account. I don't understand why the government, the politicians, can't get their act together and put a stop to this. Somebody has to figure out how to keep our information safe, or there are going to be a lot of lawsuits. A lot of lawsuits. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. They got down here saying Chinese hackers breached the computer system Office of Personnel Management in December, officials said. So this happened in December. We're just now knowing that. Wow. Said Thursday, and the agency will notify, oh man, some 4 million current and former federal employees that their personal data may have been compromised. The hack was the second major intrusion of the agency by China in less than a year. So what they're saying here is that China is the culprit. Well, if China is the culprit, Obama, what are you going to do about it? And we want more than just lip service here. Other U.S. officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity because it is an ongoing investigation identified the hackers as being from China. The data potentially exposed included employees' job assignments, performance, ratings, and training, the official said. The breach did not involve background or clearance investigations, they say. This is crazy. You know, I mean, what can I say? What can I do? I'm only a radio host. I'm only at the microphone. You know, but I am like you. I am really pissed off and riveted at this because it keeps on happening. It keeps on happening. And I just don't see the Obama administration doing anything about it, except for maybe giving it a little bit of lip service, and that's it. But this is not right. This is not good. This is not good. Okay, I just don't know. I just don't know. Okay, let's move right along. Okay, we talked about China and the hacking. Let's hope something is done. What else are they saying? Protecting our federal employees' data from malicious cyber incidents is the highest priority. They always say that, especially after they get hacked. How can you do that? I mean, it's after the fact. You know, what's going on? Why can't you guys get a handle on this? This is serious. It's not funny. It's not a joke. I mean, when they're wiping out your bank account, your savings, all of this kind of thing, it is very, very serious. And I wish these guys would take it serious. I think everybody that's been hacked, if it can be proven, should sue the government because they're not on their P's and Q's when it comes to representing Americans like they always say they are. And I'll say this again. I think most people, most politicians, lawmakers in Congress do not represent the people who put them in office. They are representing themselves. They're representing corporations. They're representing the rich. They're representing Wall Street. And that includes Obama. I just really, really don't believe it, that they're representing people. They're representing themselves. You got 15 or 20 Democrats are going to defect and vote for Obama's TPP fast track, which already has proven, not proven, but has been said to lower wages. There's going to be layoffs. Jobs are going to be taken overseas. Layoffs. I mean, there's a union busting, low pay. And it's something that the American people, we have not seen yet. Obama used to claim that his administration was transparent. That means that anything that he was doing or wanted to do, that the public was going to have a chance to look at it. We have not seen anything to the point of information on fast track. The only thing we've heard is just what people say about it in Congress, mostly Democrats, that it's a bad deal for America. Even Republicans, a few, are saying that it's a bad deal for America. Bernie Sanders is saying that it's a bad deal for America. Senator Elizabeth Warren is saying that it's a bad deal for America. Why can't Obama get that through his head? It's a bad deal for America. Unions, powerful unions, are saying that it's a bad deal for Americans. But he wants to push this through for some reason without us Americans having a look at what he's doing. So when he said he wants transparency, apparently he doesn't. Because I voted for him twice. I would like to see what he's trying to pass so I can make up for myself pass, or if I do not want it to pass. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hey, follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio, LinkedIn. Like I've said a million times, I'm all over the place. All over the place. And I enjoy it. I really do enjoy what I'm doing. Okay? This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, let's move right along. Let's move right along. We talked about the hack, healthcare, and education. I said this 100 times in some of the shows that I've done on Blog Talk Radio. Healthcare should be free. I mean, we should have had single payer instead of Obamacare. I'm not all there for Obamacare. I don't think healthcare should be a profit. But the corporations, they do. The insurance companies, they're all for it. Of course, they're all for it. They want to make a dollar off the sick. Canada, it's right next door to us. They have free health care. Why can't we have it? Why does health care in the United States have to have a money sign on it? People get sick, they're going to lose their homes. Why do people have to get sick and lose everything they have? Because they're trying to, you know, keep up with the medicines that are being presented to them by doctors and pharmacies. That's why it will never be a cure for cancer. Not a real cure, because a cure means that you will have to stop buying medication. And if you stop buying medication, that takes the profit out of it. They have to keep you on medication to keep making money. Obama would have done single care, and a lot of us feel, not single care, but single payer. That means that health care would have been free for everybody. That would be no Medicaid, no Medicare. It would just be free. And no matter how much money you made, whether you made $2 or you had $2 million, you walk into the clinic or the hospital, and they see your ailment, or you have a broken leg, they'll patch you up, send you out, and wish you good luck. And no money whatsoever is transacted. I mean, every time I go to the doctor, whether it's a clinic or a hospital, but every time I go, the first thing the lady sitting in front of me at the desk will ask me, show me your insurance. Or, can you pay for this? How are you going to pay for this? It shouldn't be that way. But like I said, there's families out here, their kids have cancer, terminal diseases, and they still have to pay for medicine, even to keep that child living for a few more months or a couple of more years. And people have lost their homes, their cars. They've lost all of their possessions. And they're out there begging other people for money to alive. with the medication that these people are charging. It's just not right. It's just not right for you to have to pay for a doctor visit. And it's not right that you have to pay for your education. Education should be free. We have a lot of idiots walking around in America. Maybe if education was free, they would be some of the smartest people in the world, maybe even scholars, intellectuals. Because I think most people love to learn. They love to learn. They want to learn. But, you know, education with its profits, they're skyrocketing. It's skyrocketing every month or every year. And it's out of the reach of most people who want to go to college. Some people have to drop out of college because the money runs out. Some people never go to college because they don't have any money. They can't get loans. It's harder than ever now to get a loan to go to college or to go anywhere. Even if you have good credit, you still can't get it. If you look at the loan officers in a negative light, you will not get that loan no matter what. You can have all the good credit in the world. You will not get that loan. It's just tough for people, and it's getting tougher. It's tough, and it's getting tougher. With those two institutions, it should be free. But who's listening to me, all right? You know, I mean, I can bare my soul on this, and I can give 100 reasons why Medicare should be free, health care should be free, which is the same thing, under the same umbrella, and education should be free. I'm not the only one espousing that. There's other people out here who are espousing that. But that's all we're doing is talking about it. It should be a lot more done besides just talking about it. I want to do more than just talk about it. But it doesn't matter how long you talk, how much you talk, or your argument is a argument. We have Republicans running things. Obama is not running anything. It's the Republicans that's running things. I don't think Obama has been running things in years. He's got a title, the President of the United States. That's about it, in my view. But we have to do something. America is a beautiful, beautiful country, but it's going down the tubes fast. It's going down the tubes fast. Now, I'm about to say something. Lose a lot of listeners for saying this, and I might lose a lot of Facebook friends and people from other social media, but I'm going to say this. This Bruce Jenner thing, I think it's just awful. I think it's pathetic. And it's happening in front of my eyes. You know, I see men turning into women, women turning into men. What kind of crap is that? What kind of world are we in? What kind of country is this? And then you got people out there trying to defend that. Kardashians. Who are these people? A bunch of talentless, bunch of kooks. In my view, when I see one of them on television, I just, you know, get my remote and just, hey, blink. They're not about anything. You know, I just wonder what's going on in this country. You know, but I don't know. I think Obama supports this. You know, I mean, but I don't. I mean, I think it's pathetic. I mean, I see this almost every day among my travels, you know, that men turning into women, women turning into men. And I think to myself, I say, wow, what are the children going to think? What are the teenagers thinking? Most people are probably laughing at him, you know. You know, he looks like a woman. He's not a bad-looking woman. But when he talks, he sounds just like a man, you know. How can he convince anybody of anything except for those who are immediately around him who are trying to take up for him? Don't get me wrong. I'm not racist. I don't care anything. If you want to be gay or straight, that's up to you. But something like this is over the top. To me, I think the Kardashians are just trying to, you know, I can't even say it. I think they're trying to corrupt a nation with their garbage. And the media is handing them a microphone to do it with. You know, I mean, this is crazy. I'm not the only critic talking about this. You know, there are some people who are afraid. Not me. I mean, you can listen to the show. You don't have to. I'm going to speak my mind on whatever subject I want to talk about. This Bruce Jenner, this Caitlyn, whatever he's now calling himself, is pathetic. You know, I think it's just a waste of TV time, a waste of news time. Why are they, maybe I'm thinking to myself, why are they throwing this junk out onto the public, out onto the world? Maybe it's a slow news day. Who knows? Maybe it's because Bruce Jenner was an Olympian. That's the operative word, was. Man, was. Yuck, yuck, yuck. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a slight break here. Let's see if I can crank up anything here. All righty, let me see. Let's try. Amber, can we try this one? Okay. Hey, this is George Wilder Jr., your radio host here. If you are an avid reader, or you just love to read in general, check out my Amazon page at www.amazon.com/author/GWilder, or pull up the Amazon website and check out all the material that I have produced. Or you can go to Amazon in general and just type my name into the space bar above, and all of my material should materialize right in front of your eyes. Wow. Some of the stuff that you can download and check out, Ain't That a Groove? It's action, romance, Back in the Groove, action, romance, Echoes of My Sin, my autobiography, I Got Stung, and a lot of others that you can check out too. I do essays, novels, short stories, and I think I do a good job at them. And you can always go and check those things out and give me some feedback. You know, hook me up with some feedback. I'm always looking for feedback on anything that I do, even on the radio show. Give me feedback on the radio show. What do you think about the radio show? Okay, I got to get back to the radio show. Speaking of radio show, I got to get back. All right. You back? All right. Okay, it looks like Hillary Clinton, she's calling for a broad expansion of voter registration. Wow. Well, we all know that the Republicans are suppressing the vote. I don't know what Obama would think about that. can't even vote no more. And it's true. It's true. We can't even vote anymore. They're suppressing it. Bernie Sanders, wide-eyed pragmatist. He is my guy. We have to start, like I said before in a lot of other shows, we have to start getting the vote out. We have to start getting people energized and wanting to vote. Get people interested in voting. Tell people that they have to do this. They have to do this in voting. And we got to get either an independent or a Democrat in the White House, or we're going to be in a lot of trouble. The Republicans want to raise the retirement age from 68 to 70, and they just might do it. But they can't do it without Obama's signature unless he agrees. But we don't know Obama's mindset. I thought I did, but I really, truly do not. Okay? So what we want to do is get Bernie Sanders in office. If you don't know who Bernie Sanders is, just go to your internet and Google him. You know, I mean, research, and you'll find out what kind of person he is. He is a total, total Democrat. He is real. He's authentic. There's nothing phony about Bernie Sanders. Now, Hillary Clinton is another is another issue. I think there is something phony about Hillary. You know, I really do. But I don't want to dwell on Hillary because I don't want to give her too much of microphone time because, you know, I am Bernie Sanders all the way, all the way. I can't go any other way. Now, the Republicans, they, I think it's about 9 or 10 of them running. Perry, the former governor of Texas, he's jumped in the race. I'm hearing Jeb Bush is going to jump in the race in a week or so. So it's very crowded. And you know what? Like I said in other shows, these people, all of them, you got about 10 Republicans running. They're not going to win. They know they're not going to win. It's only going to be one person that's going to emerge from that crowd to be the nominee for president. But you got all these people running. But it's true. A lot of them on the Republican side of the aisle know they're not going to be president. They're doing this to raise their profile. So you and I would know them once they lose. We'll still know who they are. They're in it to raise their profile. They're in it for attention so we can get to know them. They're in it so they can write books and sell books. They're in it so when they go to a college or university, they can be able to jack up their speaking fees. They know they're not going to win the presidency of the United States, but once they get on that stage during the primaries and start debating each other, we're going to know who they are because they're going to be on every television, every station, and every town, and we're going to know who they are. That's what they want. They're not going to be president. Bernie Sanders is going to be president. Okay, we're going to make sure of that. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. If you can't listen now, listen later. Download the show, podcast it. Give me some feedback on the show. Whether you like it, you don't like it, the changes you'd like to see in the show. There are some changes I'd like to see, believe me. Okay, I don't have a guest on the show today, so I'm your guest. If you want to call in and chime in on something I just said or whatever you see on the screen here or on the topics I got for today, my number is 347, as always, 347-857-1762, the guest call-in line. If you don't want to call in, if you don't feel like it, that's fine. That's okay. Sit back and listen because that's what it's all about. This is the talk about times, the talk about times. Okay, all right, stop calling someone else boss. Do it for yourself. I got a small book or a small I'm going to say essays. I got some essays called Do It For Yourself on Amazon. Check it out. I think it's around 99 cents. Download it. And basically, I'm going to try to expand on that. What I'm saying when I say do it for yourself, I mean, basically what it's saying on the screen, stop calling someone else boss. Call yourself boss. Call yourself boss. Stop work. There are so many people out here working for some other. I mean, you work for somebody for 10, 20, 30 years. The next thing they do is throw you out on your ass. You're done. And that happens to so many people. You're loyal. You're the best worker. You've been there for years. You know everybody. You know everything about the company. But yet, they will toss you right out that door and treat you like you're nobody. Especially if you don't kiss a lot of ass. You have to kiss ass. When you work with somebody else, there's no doubt about it. You have to kiss ass or you're out the door. It doesn't matter how good of an employee you are. It doesn't matter how much revenue you bring to the company. You have to kiss a lot of butt to get where you want in this society, 2015. If you don't kiss the butt, you out the door. You want to rise up in the ranks? How do you think you're going to get there? You better kiss butt. You ain't going to get there no other way. But my point here is, if you don't want to kiss butt, which I never did to anyone at any job, then do it for yourself. Get out there, quit, save some money. I know it's hard. I know it's rough to talk about opening up your own business. Not impossible. It's not impossible. There are so many people out here going to work for someone else and then thumbing their nose down at other people who are struggling. Why are you doing that? Because you are the biggest fool of all. You're giving your time, your effort, your talent, and all of your all to someone else. And you're making them rich, paying you pennies. Turn that around. Use your time, your effort, and your money for yourself. Work for yourself. In the beginning, I guess it's okay to work for someone else because you're learning, you're building. You're gaining knowledge, but after you learn and build and gain knowledge, leave and start your own company. There are so many small businesses that people can start. Be your own boss. Never call anybody boss again. I am my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do with this radio show. Nobody tells me what to say. Nobody tells me when to go on. Nobody's standing over me looking over my shoulder. Nobody is writing me up because I went to the bathroom. I don't have to kiss up to nobody, anyone. I don't have to kiss up to anyone. This is my show. And it feels great. It feels great. It feels wonderful not to be kissing up to someone who doesn't even deserve to be kissed up to. You got a lot of supervisors, you got a lot of managers who are just plain nasty. They're nasty because they can be nasty. They have the right to be nasty. And you have the right to get away from that job. Because I've heard that 90% of the people in the United States hate their jobs. I mean, when I was working for someone else, I hated it. I had to pretend like I liked it in order to stay there, but deep inside, I hated it. I'm sitting at my desk, people coming over there, looking over my shoulder, trying to see what I'm doing, what I'm about. If I go to the bathroom or take a break, someone wants to know Why didn't I tell somebody or something? It's just a lot of mess. And then most of all, you may not be getting paid that much. You have talent. You have drive. You have ability. Use that for getting yourself forward. Stop using it, giving it to someone else who do not respect you, who doesn't care. And in 5 or 6 years, they're going to throw you out on the sidewalk because you looked at them the wrong way. It's great not having a boss. I've had many bosses. There are some jobs where I elevated myself to being supervisor and working closely with management. But I knew that I could do things for myself. I knew I had the talent, the wherewithal, the education to get out here and do it for myself. Why am I trying to please someone else's clients? Let me say that again. Why am I trying to please someone else's clients when I could just as even better please clients of my own, have my own clients doing what I love doing? And I'm going to say this again. Stop calling someone else boss. You're nowhere if you're calling someone else's boss. Hey, I know the bills got to be paid. I know all of that stuff, house notes, rent, and all that stuff got to be paid, grocery, kids. But there are so many jobs that you can do on your own. There are so many things out here. You have to research it. You have to download it. You got to look at it. You got to go. You know, I can't sit here and tell you how to do things when you probably know how to do things better than tell you how to do things. Basically, all I'm saying is just, you know, stop calling someone else boss. Call yourself boss or let them call you boss. You know your talents. You know what you can do. You know your abilities. Nobody knows that better than you. Because after a while, you know, they're going to kick you out in the street, your employer. They're going to try to find things to fire you over. They're going to lower your pay. They're going to bust unions. The company is going to get hacked. You never know. You don't know. Let no one be able to fire you. Let no one be able to intimidate you. Let no one tell you that you're not a great employee. You got some supervisors will tell you, well, you're not a great employee because they want to keep you down. Some companies want to keep you down. Some companies want to keep you there because you're a good employee and they don't want to lose you. They do not want to lose you. But they're going to lose you if you have the drive to go out there into the world and start working for yourself. You know what you can do. You know who you are. Do it for yourself. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right now. I'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, I'm hearing cracks in the audio. Again, I apologize. Time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. Yeah, time once again for the smart quiz question on this show. And that question is, what does the U.S. flag 50 stars stand for? Or you can say it this way. Why does the U.S. flag have 50 stars? That should be easy. I try to not to have the question so hard, you know. So usually my son will come in and he'll guess them, you know. Or Mary, she'll come in and she'll guess them. But if you don't know, it's a Constitution question, I believe. Yeah, okay. All right. So you can always go to your computer, whatever device you have, and Google it. You know, and come up with the answer, okay? I'll have the answer by the end of the show. Okay, that smart quiz question is, why does the U.S. flag have 50 stars? Why does the U.S. flag have 50 stars? I guess that's kind of very interesting, huh? Yeah, it's just something to know. It's a trivia question probably, but I will think it's a little bit more important than trivia, especially if you're living in the United States. Okay, I try to have a smart quiz question every day that I'm on the air, and I'm on the air I added an extra day. So an extra day would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 6 p.m. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I'm in my studio, broadcasting live in Chicago from my studio. I'm looking out on the boulevard, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's great, and I love being with you. I love doing this show. I think it's wonderful. Anything you want me to talk about, if there's a topic you want me to talk about on this show and you want to participate, call in. Let me know. My number is 347-857-1762, or drop me a comment in my comment section, or an inbox on Facebook. You know, if there's something you want me to talk about on this show. You know, I mean, this is your show. So, you know, you can always chime in and say, George, talk about this, talk about that, and we will try to do that. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio. LinkedIn, I'm all over the place. What can I say? It's a beautiful day outside. It's wonderful. It's gorgeous. Okay, here we go. Let's see what we're going to chat up next. Okay, in Chicago here, and we've got a lot of things going on in Chicago. Just about every day, there's something in the news about this governor, Bruce Rauner, who's a Republican. Okay? So a lot of people are protesting this guy and his budget cuts. The guy want to do some devious budget cuts. I mean, he wants to hurt people. And that's what it's all about. People are downtown in front of the State of Illinois building. They're in front of his mansion, his offices, and they're but you know what? He's ignoring the people out there who are protesting him. He's ignoring them like they're not there. They don't mean anything. I'm pretty sure they don't. He's a millionaire or a billionaire, and he's a Republican. He doesn't care about what's going on. It was one lady said who was this is interesting. I can barely say it. Can I say this? One lady, she was protesting him, and she said she was out there protesting in front of this, I think it's the State of Illinois building or downtown somewhere, and the camera was on her. The TV camera was on her, and she said, Mr. Rauner, you're a billionaire. Why don't you put $2 billion in the state government, balance the budget with your own personal money, putting $2 billion in, and leave these programs alone? In other words, basically, she was saying, Rauner, you want to balance the budget? Don't cut these vital programs for needy people, autism, and the rest. Use your own money, your own personal money, to balance the budget. I would have loved to have seen his face. If he was smiling when he heard that, you know, that was a phony smile. Rauner is a mean guy. He tries to smile and look compassionate. He ran as a compassionate governor, but he's anything less than compassionate. That guy hasn't got a compassionate bone in his fingernail. You know, but I like what she said. And there's always somebody protesting Rauner budget cuts. They're protesting these cuts in the General Assembly. State representatives and the state senators in Illinois are protesting all the cuts. But we have to get on the Democrats in this town. We got to let them know that they got to stand firm against this guy, because we know that the Democrats can cave in a minute. They can give in a minute to this guy, because Rauner seems like a bossy guy. He seems like a guy who likes telling people what to do. But this is the state of Illinois. He can't come in here and ramrod this city and ramrod the people. And the people, they're letting him know that as I speak. And that's a good thing. The guy likes to, you know, it's his way or the highway. That's the way Rauner thinks, and that's the way he is. It's his way or the highway. But this is Illinois. We try to tell him this is not Wisconsin. And he's not Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin. House Democrats on Thursday asked Governor Bruce Rauner to appear before a House committee to explain why the governor's office arranged to have a $250,000 a year education paid out money meant for the frailest of the most vulnerable people or the most vulnerable populations in the state. What he's talking about there is Rauner took money. I think I said this before. Rauner took money from an agency that helped people. He took that money and gave it to an employee who he assigned to cut programs. In other words, it's backwards Robin Hood, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. That's exactly what that was. And the General Assembly wants to talk to him. Who follows a Chicago Sun-Times story which reveals that Rauner's office penned a $250,000 annual contract with the governor's handpicked education secretary, Beth Purvis, to be paid out of the Department of Human Services budget. So her salary is paid out of the Department of Human Services. That's crazy. Taking money from a program and giving it to someone else to cut more programs within the state. I just hope the Democrats stand firm on this guy. Do not cave in. Do not give in. No matter how much he runs around the state saying that Democrats doesn't care, Democrats, they don't want the state, they want this or they want that. Stand your ground. Be firm with this guy. Do not give in. The Democrats have the legislature, both houses. Rauner, only thing he has is executive authority. And some of it he can use, some he can't. Some he can go around, some things he can't. He has to have the legislature to go in on some of the cuts. But we do know how Democrats can cave in. Their spine will break. And they'll give in to this guy. That cannot happen. That's why people are downtown almost every single day protesting Rauner. He cannot come into this state. He never ran a government office in his life. He bought his way into governorship. Yes, he paid his way into. He elected. He bought it. And he bought the election. You know, I mean, he's a billionaire. I mean, he bought it. Totally bought it. Literally bought it. But I'm thankful that I didn't vote for him. I voted for the other guy. The other guy lost. I did not vote for Rauner. But the people who did vote for him or did not vote for him put him on me. And a lot of the people who voted for Rauner, he's cutting funding from their program, and they voted for him. They feel pretty damn bad now. I bet that he's throwing them out of work. And they voted for the man. He doesn't care. Like any other Republican, he doesn't care. And if it seems like he does care, he's lying. Totally, he's lying. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. You miss a show, you miss a lot. I don't have a guest right now, but I will have one tomorrow. Stick with me there. Join me tomorrow and join my guest. Okay? All righty, but right now you miss a show, you miss a lot, and only listen to me. I know there's a lot of people who are archiving the show. That's great, because I know if you're archiving the show, you really can't listen to the show right now. Sound like a commercial, huh? This show will have a commercial on it. It will have commercials. But not now. I'm looking into that fact, because commercials means that, you know, you're going to get paid. So I'm looking into that fact. Someone came to me. I read something somewhere. Well, after 6 months of radio, you can be on television. Oh, no, not me. Not me. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Great that you're out there. Great that you're here. It's a great day. Thanks for listening. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, if you want to call in, chime in, my number is 347-857-1762. Or just archive the show at your convenience. At your convenience. Let me see what. Taking a break right here. Hi, everybody. My name is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm here every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. and more. Yeah, I'm on even longer if I feel good. If the show is going well, you guys are participating, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm George Wilder Jr. This is George Wilder Jr.'s show. I'm the hardest working man in internet radio. And also, check out my memoir, Crying at the Moon. It's a bestseller on Amazon.com, available in Kindle download. I'm also available on iTunes. Check me out at my website, www.georgewilderjr.com. Check me out at www.blogtalkradio. I'm all over the internet. I mean, I'm LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Check me out. But most importantly, enjoy the show. Participate. Call in. Let me know what you're thinking. This is a fun show. I'm a fun guy. Take care. Yeah, take care, George. All right. All right, here we go. I was talking about the hack So 4 million federal workers victimized by hack. I mean, that's 4 million people. Okay. I don't work for the federal government, but I, at one time, I believe I did. It was so long ago, but I believe I did. I'm not a part of that, but the fact is that this hacking, it keeps on going on as if this government can't do anything about it, as if this government is just, you know, they're not capable of trying to stop this. And it's going to keep going on. And if China's doing, hey, I know we don't run China. I think we owe China a lot of money. But I don't know if that's the reason. I don't know if that's the reason behind these hacks. I think this is the second or time that the U.S. has been hacked by China. But this is really scary. Our information is out there. Our information is out there. Okay, Nancy Pelosi. She's saying it's not my responsibility to find votes for Obama's trade VIP. Let me read that again. It is not my, this, I quote, it's not my responsibility to find votes for Obama's trade bill. In other words, she doesn't like fast track. Who does? But, you know, she's another, I used to like Nancy Pelosi, but she's just another Democrat without a spine. No, she's a millionaire or billionaire, but she doesn't have, she gives into the Republicans. She caves into the Republicans. She's a former Speaker of the House. You know, I mean, when she was Speaker, the Republicans, they really, really lambasted her. I mean, they talked about her like she was a dog. But you know what? She had thick skin. She knew how to repel that. You know, she had thick skin. You know, and that's what I liked about her. You know, but now she seems like she's just weak. She's like so many other Democrats, she's weak. And I'm hoping that the Democrats in the Illinois legislature do not cave into this guy, because sometimes it seems like they're going to. Mike Madigan, Cullerton. I mean, if you see these guys on television, you tell yourself, please don't cave in. They look like they're scared to death. They look as if they're scared to death. We, the people of Illinois, have got to tell these two lawmakers, stand firm, be strong. Do not let Rauner scare you. Do not let Rauner bully you. You're doing the right thing for the people who put you in office. You're representing the middle class. You're representing those out here who are, you're representing the homeless, the poor. If Rauner has his way, I think I've said this before, if Rauner has his way in this town, this state will be ruined. But if you listen to Rauner, he's blaming the Democrats. He's saying that we don't want real reform. He's saying that we do not want, well, they do not want, not we, because I'm not a Democrat, I'm an independent. He's saying Democrats do not want to negotiate. Rauner doesn't want to negotiate. Rauner wants to be a dictator. He wants to tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And he wants to see it done. The guy doesn't want to compromise. He doesn't want a bill passed in the Senate or the legislature. He wants them to buckle under his weight. So we in town of Illinois, we've got to tell people, stay strong. Stay strong. He's got a well command of the English language. He sounds good when he talks. He sounds like he could be a radio announcer or a radio host. He has good diction. But let's hope that it does not scare the Democrats, you know, into doing something against the people who voted them in the office. I believe if people kick those two in the butt, I think they will stand firm against Rauner. And that's what it's all about, standing firm against this guy who wants to take this state down the toilet. And he has no claim about not doing that. He wants to take this state down the toilet. He thinks he's bettering the state, getting it back on financial footing. But what he's doing, he's running this state into the damn ground. That's what he's doing. And I urge everybody out there who are protesting him against this, he wants to bust unions. He doesn't want you to have workers' compensation. He wants something. He wants to hurt people so badly he could taste it. He does. And that's the truth. You know, I'm sitting at this microphone. But I'm hoping one day that this microphone gets out there, that my voice get out there to people who are of the same mind. It's all about helping those in need, not putting your foot on the back of their necks when they're down and helpless. It seems like it's what he wants to do. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, beautiful Chicago. I have 7:07 straight up p.m. Chicago time. And you know what? It's still daylight out there, and I'm going to still say go Hawks. I can't wait to sit down with, you know, sit down and watch them on television Saturday night. You know, it's going to be great. Even though I'm on the radio Saturday night, I don't know if I'm going to preempt the show, cancel the show, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. They may not start playing until around 8 o'clock, and I'll be off by then. And I really, really want to do the show Saturday, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to take a break right here, probably play some of the same audio that I played before. I will be, let's see what we got. Boom, 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 boom. Let's see what we got. Are we ready? Let's see. Are we ready, 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 ready? Okay, stay with me. I'll be right back. since the start of the year, 2015, there has been 400 cop killings. That's something. A lot of cops, police shootings country. And it's staggering. It's staggering. In an alley in Denver, police gunned down a 17-year-old girl joyriding in a stolen car. In the backwoods of North Carolina, the police opened fire on a gun-wielding moonshiner. In a high-rise apartment in Birmingham, Alabama, the police shot an elderly man after his son asked them to make sure he was okay. Douglas Harris, 77, answered the door with a gun. The three are among at least 385 people shot and killed by police nationwide during the first 5 months of this year. Man, more than two a day, according to Washington Post analysts. According to a Washington Post analyst. That is more than twice the rate of fatal police shootings tallied by the federal government over the past decade, a count that officials concede is incomplete. A national debate is raging about the police use of deadly force, especially against minorities. To understand why and how often these shootings occur, the Washington Post is compiling a database of every fatal shooting by police in 2015, as well as every officer killed by gunfire in the line of duty. The Post looked exclusively at shootings, not killings by other means, such as stun guns and deaths in police custody. People dying in police custody. Using interviews, police reports, and local news accounts and other sources, the Post tracked more than a dozen details about each killing through Friday, including the victim's race, whether the person was armed, and the circumstances that led to the fatal encounter. The result is an unprecedented examination of these shootings, many of which begin as minor incidents and suddenly escalate into violence. About half the victims were white, half minority, but the demographic shifts sharply among the unarmed victims, two-thirds of whom were black or Hispanic. Overall, blacks were killed at least three times the rate of whites or other minorities when adjusting by the population and the census tracts where the shootings occurred. The vast majority of victims, more than 80%, were armed with potentially lethal objects, primarily guns, but also knives. And in one case, a nail gun. 49 people had no weapon. While the guns wielded by 13 others turned out to be toys, in all, 16% were either carrying a toy or were unarmed. The dead range in age from 16 to 83. Eight were children, younger than 18, including Jesse Hernandez, 17, who was shot three times by the Denver police officers as she and a carload of friends allegedly tried to run them down. I just think police are too fast on the trigger. I really do. I think they should stop and think about the situation that they might find themselves in. Do they have to use deadly force? Do they really have to use a gun, pull a gun? I think they should kind of stop and think before they... I understand their life might be on the line, but a lot of these shootings could have been avoided. And then some people, some police officers, just want to shoot. I bet you some police officer get up in the morning, put their uniform on, and hoping like hell that they can go out and shoot someone. You know, because a lot of police officers act macho, tough, and bad. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some good police officers out there, but there's too many bad ones. And I think the good police officers should turn in the bad ones. I think on every police force, there's a bad cop. And I think on every police force, someone knows who that bad cop is. Ninety-two victims, nearly a quarter of them killed, were identified by police or family members as mentally ill. Yeah, I believe that. A lot of people out here who commit crimes are mentally ill. I think the guy they just caught who was robbing these boutiques around the city of Chicago, he was robbing these places with just a knife. All he had was a knife. Suddenly the police caught him. I think he robbed about four or five of these places until police caught him. He was about to rob another one, another boutique. These places are basically owned by women. He was about to rob another one, and the police just pounced on him, you know, and they found a knife on him. Yeah, he was getting ready to. Now, if the police would have shot this guy, you know, it would have been something. Even though he had a knife on him and he was about to rob again, you know, it's something. But somehow this guy survived and just took him in. And that's a great thing. That's a great. I guess they sneaked up on the guy. They didn't have to shoot him. They sneaked up on him. And that's my point. I think before police officers shoot, they should assess the situation and try to figure out what would be the opportune thing to do at that moment. You don't shoot anyone in the back. That's murder to me. I mean, that's straight up cold-blooded murder. In Miami Gardens, Florida, Catherine Daniels called 911 when she couldn't persuade her son, a 25-year-old black man, to come out of the cold early one morning in February. He's a schizophrenic, 5'4", and weighed about 120 pounds. Oh, he's a small guy compared to me. Okay. Hall was wearing a boxer shorts and an undershirt and waving a broomstick when police arrived. They tried to stun him with a laser gun, but then shot him. Oh, man. That was unjustified. They did not think. They didn't try to assess the situation and the things around them. They just came out shooting. Because a lot of them, you know, they want to shoot. And the baffling thing is, you know, his peers, the station, the police station, and the captains and all, they, you know, they defend them. They defend these bad cops. And there's no defending a bad cop, you know, so because it happens. It happens. Okay, Miami Gardens Police Department. Let me see. All right, here we go. The other half of shootings involved non-domestic crimes such as robberies, which I just got through talking about, or routine duties that occupied patrol officers such as serving warrants. Nicholas T. Thomas, 23-year-old black man, was killed in March when the police in Georgia tried to serve him with a warrant for failing to pay $170 in felony probation fees. Thomas fled the Goodyear tire shop where he worked as a mechanic, and the police shot into his car. Wow. Although race was a dividing line, those who died by police gunfire often had much in common. Most were poor, had a history of run-ins with the law enforcement over mostly small-time crimes, sometimes because they were emotionally troubled. Mentally, both things were true of Daniel Elroy, a 39-year-old white man. Elroy had been arrested at least 16 times over the past 15 years. He was taken into protected custody last year because of Omaha police feared he might hurt himself. On the day he died in February, Elroy robbed a Family Dollar store. Police said he ran when the police officers arrived, jumping on top of a BMW in the parking lot and yelling, "Shoot me, shoot me." And Elroy was unarmed. He was shot 3 times as he made a mid-air leap to clear a barbed wire fence, according to police records. That doesn't sound right. Sound like to me they just shot him and made up a report afterwards. Dozens of other people who died while fleeing the police. 20% of those were unarmed, running in such a provocative act that the police experts say that there is a name for injured officers inflicted on subjects. I don't want to even read no more of this. It's garbage. You know, I'm tired of reading about this. Okay, I hope you get the gist of it. It's just that crime is just rampant in the city, and police officers are just fast on the trigger. You know, and it upsets me. It really do upset me. I don't think this, I would like to see a perfect world, a wonderful world, but apparently it's not going to happen. Especially when you have someone like Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn, whatever he's calling himself now, that's just awful. Probably going to lose a lot of listeners. I'm going to lose some, you know, friends, but that's the way it is. I'm not, you know. It's just crazy. I mean, I'm confused more ways than one on what's happening in this country. When we let people like the Kardashians enter our homes. Nothing people. There's no talent there. What can they do? They can't sing. They can't dance. They can't act. Why are we paying attention to the Kardashians? A bunch of bimbos. That's all it is. Probably some people who, they don't even have a college education. Maybe not even a high school diploma. Who knows? That's what they sound like anyway. Why are we paying attention to this? I don't know. But let me say this. I'm not paying attention to it. But I know America is. And most Americans who pay attention to this are saying the same thing as I'm saying. Most level-headed Americans are saying some of the same things that I'm saying. It's awful. It's really awful. And something's got to change in this world. Something's got to change. I don't know what. I think we need Jesus Christ. I think we need for him to come back to earth and take some of this stuff away. Maybe that's bizarre. Maybe I'm just talking crazy. I don't know. But we need something now. This is crazy. This is loony. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm practically off the air. Let me see here. Let me see what we got going. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, let's see what we got going here. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. Yeah, smart quiz question. Why do the U.S. flag have 50 stars? Okay, I think I can answer that for you. If you have the answer, just drop it in my comment section on Black Talk Radio or inbox me on Facebook. But the answer is, let me read that question again. Why does the U.S. flag have 50 stars? Each star represents a state. We have 50 states, so we have 50 stars. So that's your answer. 50 states, 50 stars. Each star represents a state. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I have 7:27. I got a minute or so left in the show, and it's been wonderful. It's been great. It's been marvelous. Let's do this again. Let's do this again tomorrow. Remember, stop calling someone else boss. Do for yourself. Work for yourself. And you'll feel a lot better, believe me, when you know that you don't have to call someone boss. There's no one looking over your shoulder or trying to intimidate you or you know, backbiting or anything like that. And, you know, even if you're not getting that, still get out there and do it for yourself. Still get out there and do it for yourself. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to sign off. I'll see you tomorrow. Hope you're here with me. Thanks for listening. Got to go. Take care.